Good morning, Calvary Chapel.
Good morning.
We want to thank all of you people visiting for the first time or still kind of new visiting. We are so glad to have you here. And like Steve said, we are a church family. We do this together. We walk together. We hurt together. And speaking of that, our pastor, he went through surgery on Friday. And thank you for everyone who prayed because he came out of it wonderfully. He's not here with us today, but he's doing really good. Hopefully he's watching online. I think we got that fixed. So Rick, we miss you. And but I'm Jason. I'm our youth pastor. So anyways, just thank you for your prayers for Rick. And we miss him. And just continue to pray for our body as people are going through things. We have a lot of people who are going through things, and they're not telling us. We wish you would, but if you don't, let's just keep lifting them up in prayer as a church family. Amen? Okay, so today's message is walk in the Spirit. Some of you might notice that on the bulletin it said walk in faith. Either way, it's a good suggestion. It's a good command. It's a good thing for us to do. Walk in the Spirit, walk in faith, and it's Galatians 5, 16 through 26 are our verses. And the title says it all, right? I mean, if we could do this, I could just say, hey guys, walk in the Spirit, and we're done. We're done. Let's go do whatever we're going to do. But we know that it's hard to do. It's hard to walk in the Spirit. If we could just stop quenching the Holy Spirit and we would just die to the desires of the flesh permanently, we'd be good to go. And we know when we're glorified, this battle that we're going to discuss today will be over. But for now, we've got a battle, a daily battle on our hands. We know how hard it is to consistently do that each and every moment of every day, to choose to do what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do, to deny the desires of the flesh in this world. So in today's verses, we're going to discuss what it means to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and why it's a daily battle for us. But before we get into that, I want to do a recap on the last message I gave, Galatians 5, 7 through 15. The title was A Healthy Body Runs Well and Avoids Hindrances. So it's kind of leading up to where we're going to go today. So last time we talked about running our race in faith in Christ Jesus according to his word. It's always in his word. Everything we talk about today, everything we talked about throughout Galatians, it's always according to his word. There's no contradictions to his word. We'll talk more about this later. But as we run in this faith, we're supposed to avoid hindrances. We're supposed to avoid lies, deceptions. We're supposed to avoid adding and subtracting to his word. We're supposed to stick to his word and let his Holy Spirit guide us. We're supposed to choose to do what's good, what's holy, what's just, what's of good report. We talked about how hindrances do not come from the Lord, but the Lord does allow us to be tested. The Lord came and showed us how to walk this walk, to be tested, and to pass the test perfect. We have not done that, but that is our calling. That's what we're supposed to try to do. That's what our aim should be. And Rick always says it's not about perfection, it's about direction. Is our direction, is where we're aiming for perfection, and we know we're going to stumble and fall here and there? And do we get back up? Because we always get back up. If you're really of the faith, you will not turn back. You will keep going. You will get back up and keep going, and you will finish this race. We also talked about considering the path that we're on before we go down it. There's a proverb that talks about this. Don't just start going down. And once you do start going down the wrong path, the longer you spend on that path, more impact, negative impact you're going to have on your life. We all probably can relate to that. So it's better to go, why would I even start down this path? Let's just not go there. And you save yourself a whole lot of trouble. We also talked about how small hindrances can become greater hindrances if we keep going on that path. We also talked about the cross being offense to those who are perishing. I can't remember, was that message or the one before? Also about the aroma of Christ that we have, that we should make a difference to people we see. Believers should see a sweet aroma, smell a sweet aroma coming off of us. Those who are perishing, we should stink like death as a warning against them. That's why people get mad at you, but that's why people don't like you before you even really know them. And you're like, man, there's something about them. They just don't like me. Well, hopefully that's because of the Holy Spirit in you, not because you're doing something to deserve it. We also talked about how false teachers will use the flesh and its works. Remember, the Pharisees had followed Paul to Galatia to teach, to counter what he was teaching about freedom in Christ, to teach the law, which sounded good. Oh man, yeah, you got to follow the law, and you got to be circumcised, and you got to do this, and you got to believe in Christ. And it was this heavy burden on them. And Paul said, no, it's freedom, and we have freedom in Christ. But that freedom should be used for his kingdom, not for our flesh desires, obviously. He freed us to walk according to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus prayed that we would be one, and as he and the Father were one, a healthy, unified body, biblically unified body. We don't want to make compromises to other churches that are not sticking to the Word of God so we can say we're unified. We need to stick to the Word of God to try to help lead them into unification biblically. Okay. I love that. Amen. That was great. I wasn't even expecting that one. Okay, so with that, if you'd please stand for the reading of today's verses, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Walk in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom you've provided. We thank you for taking every sin, our sin nature, to the cross to free us, Lord. Thank you for just reiterating, inculcating in your word that we are free and we are not to add or subtract to your word. We're not supposed to add burdens, add anything to the yoke that you give us, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Help us to be free. Help us to choose to be a bondservant for you, that all that you've put in us, we can use to serve your kingdom, your eternal kingdom that is coming soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So it's important to remember, I think, at this point in Galatians, to remember that Paul has been emphasizing, remember, through the Holy Spirit, the contrast between trusting in the flesh and the law, the works, and the freedom we have in Christ, the completed work of Christ, the simple belief that Jesus did it all on the cross. We have to be humble. We have to be humble to realize there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. But he also reminds us to not use that freedom, to choose to become a bondservant of our Lord Jesus Christ, not for our own fleshly lusts. So now we're free to serve him. And I think this is partly why Jewish believers really understood this maybe better than we do, because they knew the weight of the law. They knew the weight of it all, trying to keep it and messing up. And now they've got to go sacrifice this animal. They got to do all these things. And when Christ came and the freedom was there, they're like, whoa. For us, we kind of came into it, most of us. Kind of came into it and go, man, this is pretty nice. This is a good deal. But I don't think we sometimes understand the weight that was on them from trying to fulfill the law. And we do have people today, Christians today, who are trying to add that weight of the law to their faith. And they really need to read the book of Galatians, because this really just hammers it over. And I don't know how you can get through the book of Galatians and go, I wonder if I should be following the law. Like, I don't know, I don't get it. He does a great job just, you know, bringing it home. Okay, so verses 16 and 17, the spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So what does walking in the spirit actually mean? I feel like as I was preparing this message, I'm like, I have read these verses and I kind of get this idea, but I haven't really dug into it. So I really wanted to spend time dissecting these things. So I don't spend so much time on the fruit of the flesh or the desires of the flesh, which Paul says are evident. So we'll go through those in a minute. Or the fruit of the Spirit, which we cover a lot, which is important. We should know those. But a lot of it is, what does that mean? How do we apply that in our lives? How do we live in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? So what does walking in the Spirit actually mean? The Greek for walk is peripateo, and it means in addition to walking, to progress, to make use of opportunities, to regulate or conduct oneself. So it gives this idea of that we're progressing or we're growing in our walk with the Lord, obedient to the Holy Spirit, not quenching the Holy Spirit, which we know we can do. And if we do this, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Greek for lust is epithymia. I don't roll my R's like I'm supposed to because I don't want to butcher it. So just let you know, if you're like, that's not how to say it. I know. I'm Americanizing it. Epithymia, there's no R in this one, so I don't know why I told you that in this one. Epithymia. And it means desire, craving, longing for what is forbidden. Now just think about that. This is the word for the lust of the flesh. Desiring, craving, longing for what is forbidden. Now, who or what should we be desiring, craving, longing for? Jesus. Jesus. Isn't it sickening to think that we do that sometimes for stuff, for things here? This isn't in my notes. This is extra. But when you wake up in the morning and everything you need is provided for you. But then you're like, man, we need to get out of here. Life is boring, or this is bad, or man, the car needs tires again. Like all these little whiny, grumbly things we can do, and God's providing what we need. But I think sometimes we can desire, crave, and long for things of this world, and we forget to be grateful and thankful for what the Lord has done. We only have like 29,000 days on this earth. You know that? You live about 80 years old, I think it's 29,200 days. I mean, let's not waste those days. How many days of the 29,000 are we going to waste grumbling and complaining to the Lord about the world stuff that we don't have, that doesn't even matter, that's going to burn up? So if we walk in the Spirit, well, let me go back here because I went on a tangent there, sorry. Epithymia, desire, craving, longing for what is forbidden. That's the lust. When it talks about the lust, that's what it's saying is you're really desiring this thing when you should have that feeling for the Lord and thankfulness for the Lord. So if we walk in the Spirit according to God's word, we will not fulfill or give in to the forbidden desires of the flesh. The forbidden desires of the flesh. And I think that's important to remember, because if you are at a restaurant and you're like, man, I cannot wait to get that medium rare prime rib, that's not in the list of bad things. But I would say if you're not happy with your life and you're like, man, all I care about is the prime rib, I need to get that every single day, then you're sounding more like the Israelites when they were getting manna and they were like, they want quail. And we saw how God felt about that. So it's kind of a, how often are you craving these things? And other times it's like, this is very good to have. I'm not seeking it out, but man, in this situation, I'm going to have it. But anything in that flesh list, yeah, not even one time. You don't want any of that. And I also highly encourage you, when we go through that flesh list, read it in many different translations. Because like New King James, you might read it and go, oh yeah, I don't do that. But you read it in maybe the NLT or the NIV or something else, you might go, oh, revelries, I kind of do that, right? So it's good to read those in different, or even look into the Blue Letter Bible or Zadiades, you know, the breakdown of the words they could have used for that. Okay, so there is a battle between the Holy Spirit and our flesh, the new born again you and the old sin nature defeated you. But he's still here. He's still here. It's like, you guys, well, some of you might not, but in the old days, there were Westerns. And it wasn't like today where wicked, oh, the wicked witch is misunderstood, blah, all that dumb stuff, right? It was clear. There's a white hat guy and there's a black hat guy. And you knew the white hat guy's who we're rooting for. He's the good guy. Well, we have that in us every single day. And our battle isn't at high noon. It's in the morning. Every morning we wake up, we've got a battle on our hands. We've got a showdown between the white hat and the black hat through the Holy Spirit in us and the flesh. And we need to make sure the black hat guy is taken out every morning, crucifying the desires of the flesh. And if you let that black hat guy win for a little while, it can be 10 a.m., 2 p.m., whatever it is, take him out again. Bring the duel to him again. So I just wanted to give us kind of a picture of that battle. Rick has given us a good one with the wolf, the two wolves. I think it was two wolves. I just wanted to do the Western thing this time, you know. But if we obey the Holy Spirit, we will not do what the flesh desires. But we have to take care of the flesh desires to follow the Holy Spirit. We can't let them linger. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have told us to crucify the flesh, the desires of the flesh. It has to die, because that's what's natural to us. That's what's comfortable to us, are those things. That's why if I talked about, I think last time, cruise control, putting your flesh on cruise control isn't good enough. You're going to end up doing things you don't want to do, going the wrong way. But if we do what the flesh desires, we will be quenching and disobeying the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We really need to grasp this. Make sure we understand it. Because in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, I think Jesus is helping us understand why this is important. So he says, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's our Lord saying that. That's his desire for us. An easy yoke and a light burden. And remember who he said this to. He said this to a whole bunch of Jewish people who had been oppressed by the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. If your yoke is not easy and your burden is not light, it's not the Lord's. Get it off. Cast it off. It's probably from legalism, unforgiveness, or the enemy. When the newborn again you has crucified the desires of the flesh, you are walking in the Spirit, and therefore you are not under the law. Remember, the law was a guardian before the Holy Spirit was given to us. It was there to guide us. So yeah, if you aren't going to walk in the Spirit and you're going to walk in the desires of the flesh, you probably should pay attention to the Ten Commandments and remember, as you're carnally living, not to murder people, not to steal from people, not to covet things. Right? Because you need a guardian. You're basically saying, I still need a babysitter. I still need the law as a babysitter because I refuse to walk in the Lord and in his commands. and I'm free. You're free. And we're not talking about for salvation. You're just acting like you're not really who you are. If you're born again and you act like the world, you're basically being a hypocrite because you really are Christ's. You've really been given the Holy Spirit. You're just continuing to quench the Spirit. The Bible talks about that man as one who gets in by the skin of his teeth at the Bema Seat Judgment. All his works are burned up because he lived for this world. He really believed. And there's a struggle there too. I wouldn't want to play that game and find out, man, I really wasn't a believer. So I'm not recommending this way of going. But that's what the scriptures say. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, gave life to the law, and it confounded the lawmakers and the enforcers of the law. Just think about that. That's what we're supposed to be. See, there was the black and white law as the guardian, and then Jesus came and added life to the law, and they didn't get it. They were still trying to nitpick him, remember? Trying to find fault. Well, you're not doing what we think you should do. Well, right. But where am I breaking the law? Well, you're not, but you're irritating us. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should be doing. We should be living according to the Holy Spirit, and we are free. So when people are like, hey, you can't do that. Hey, you can't do that. Now, I think it's always important to remember, if all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial, and we are not talking about those things in the flesh, because it says those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But other things, there are things that you are able to do, allowed to do, that are not benefiting you. And the enemy will just keep tricking you to suffer. Because there's things we are like, man, but I can do this. As a believer, I can do this. But you're suffering every day over it. Every day. Man, when am I going to listen to the Lord and just give it up? Just give it up. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He keeps tugging on your heart on something and it doesn't make any sense. And you're asking people and they're like, yeah, I think you're overthinking it. But he won't let it go. Let it go. You let it go. Walking in the Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. That's very important. But it will give life to the Word, just like Jesus did. And it may confound some of the religious leaders, too. Verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody else find it interesting? There's this huge list, and then it says, and the like. Well, I think God wanted every one of those that's in there, and then and the like, because he could have just done three and the like. But God knew what we needed to hear, which is why I highly encourage you to look those up in different translations. It's good for you. It's good for all of us. It'll convict you probably, but it's good for us. This is going to take a while because I'm going to break down every one of these. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. As Paul states, we should know these. It's evident to us. We should know them very well because this was our works prior to being born again. We know these things. We know these things really well. So we don't need to break them down. They were natural to the old you, the defeated you. These are evident and plainly known to us because of that, for time's sake, I'm not going to spend time going through each one. But we should know that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to spend time on, is what does that mean? Because I don't know about you, but that can be a scary verse. The King James actually says, those who do such things. I'm like, oh, I've done those things. I've done those things. So what does practice really mean? The King James, like I said, uses the word do. So those who do such things. But the word in the Greek is proso. There's that rolling R that I'm not going to do, proso. And it means to exercise, practice, to be busy with, to undertake, to accomplish. So the way I think of that, to kind of get a better idea, is that those who invest in doing such things, it's something they are pursuing. They're undertaking to do. They're planning on it. They're working to accomplish it. They're making it happen. And I can think of some people I've come across over the years who call themselves Christian, but they are fully invested in the world's kingdom. Its pleasures, its desires, they are all in on world stuff. Which, if you look up the Laodicean church that's spewed out of his mouth, that sounds just like them. They have need of nothing, including, in their mind, they have need of nothing, including the Lord, because he's outside the church knocking on the door. So that is someone who would call themselves a Christian, but they are not. Now, I would say, I mean, this is just dawning on me as I say this, he still calls them his church, and he doesn't give up on them, but he is warning them, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth, but I am standing at that door knocking, and if you open to me, I will come in and sup with you. So that's a good thing. So if you're one of those, he's still knocking. He's still knocking. But I wouldn't play around with that. Okay, so the word is proso. And I've thought of people who are like that, and I used to be one of those. As an early Christian, I wasn't really brought up in the church, but I considered myself a Christian. And when people said there was no God, I'd defend it. But I had a false sense of security, folks. I did not have a relationship with the Lord. I never bothered to learn what he says in his word. I never bothered to worship him. In word, I'm a Christian. But in action, I was in charge. And I really wasn't. I thought I was. I was playing the game of the wicked one. He was pulling my strings. Made me think I was free to do whatever I wanted to do. But I called myself a Christian. I was lying. And I think the enemy loved that I had that false sense of security. And I hope nobody here is in that boat. But if you are, the Lord loves you. And he died for you. And he is constantly tugging on you. He's calling you. He chose to leave where he was to come and suffer from us, for our sins. But he let his creation, the king of the universe, came and let us punch him and spit on him and crucify him, but death couldn't hold him down. He did all that because he loved you. He loved you. Even those who think they're a Christian, but really they're not. He loved you too. He loved all of us that way. And it's his desire that all would come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. So please let that sink in if you're struggling with the Lord. And if you're someone who doubts the word of God, try to prove it wrong because no one's been able to do it. And those who do end up becoming believers. All right. I don't know if that was for a certain person or people because I didn't have that in my notes. That just came out. So anyway, I used to be one of those people, so I can relate to that. I've also known true believers who have struggled, continually struggled against sinning in this life, but they never seem to invest in it. They just are sorrowful. You know, I've seen guys who are caught up in some of the worst drugs and they're on fire for the Lord, and then they come back all broken and they're like, I gave in. But you don't see in them the practice of these things. I'm in this, I'm all about this, I'm all in on this sin. It's a broken person who's really sorry that they messed up once again. They're repentant. And they turn around and they say, Lord, I'm done, and they go on. And they may mess up again. I've seen those people, and I've been one of those people as well. Instead, it was more of an effort to walk in the Spirit, to live for God, but they mess up. They stumble. They fall. But they don't stay down. They don't turn back. That's the sign that you're good, that you're good to go. It's the direction. You're on the right direction when you keep getting up and going back, pursuing the Lord. Don't be like Lot's wife who turned back, or the one who puts his hands to the plow and turned back. Don't be like those guys. Keep going. Keep going. The difference since being born again, as Paul says here in Romans 7, 15 through 17. I thought he did a really good job of just explaining this. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So Paul here in Romans 7 is acknowledging the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. But it's a struggle for the believer. It's not a struggle for the unsaved, self-proclaimed Christian. If you're struggling, it's good. If you're not struggling, that's bad when you sin. And isn't it refreshing to know that Paul, who the Lord used to write most of the New Testament, dealt with these same issues? I mean, I'm really glad you struggled, Paul, but I am glad that someone else can relate and is bringing it up there, because I do too. Thank you. But I also love how the Holy Spirit used the guy who struggled there to write this thing, this letter, and talks about walking in the Spirit, because it shows how patient God is, how much long-suffering God has for us. He never gives up on us, folks. So I believe the verses that are warning people about not inheriting the kingdom of God are speaking to those who are not born again and therefore do not have the Holy Spirit, but may not know that they aren't saved. It's a warning to them that if you can just do this and do all these things or some of these things without any regret, without any conviction of the Holy Spirit, he's warning you. He loves you, and he's warning you, and he's telling you, if you can pursue these things and live these things and wake up and your default mindset is to do these things, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But it's like that 80-20 rule. We have that at work where a supervisor will say something really convicting, and it's like the 20% of the people who are already doing it, they're the ones who hear what he's saying, and they're like, oh my gosh, I got to get better. And the 80% who need to hear it, they're like, goes right over their head. They just keep doing their thing. I think we can be the same way. So the ones who are already trying really hard, they're like, oh, this is so hard. I don't think that's, God's talking to those who can live this and they don't have any cares of the world. They're just like, I'm good to go. This is who I am. This is my true self. So those people who say they're a Christian, but they're not, who can live for the world, love the world, remember, the love of the world, if you have the love in the world in you, the love of the Father is not in you. They know how to say the right things around the right people, but their hearts are far from the Lord. They are fully invested in their flesh, this world, and sin. They practice sin in their lives. They practice sin in their lives. They pursue sin in their lives. They don't struggle trying to follow the Lord, trying to live by the Holy Spirit, trying to live by the Word of God, and then failing here and there and repenting and moving. There's the difference. Hopefully, that's clear to you guys. So some confirmation and perspective. Let's read 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message which we have heard from him who and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So again, there's a difference between saying we believe, but are pursuing the world, versus saying we believe, and we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Our Lord, the Lord over our lives. I'm not the Lord over my life. The Lord is the Lord over my life. So I am pursuing my Lord, and I want to know what my Lord thinks, and I want to have a relationship with my Lord. I don't just say I believe, but I am the Lord of my life, and I don't care what his word says, and I don't care what other believers say, and I don't care when believers come up to me and go, hey, right here it says this. I don't care. That's the warning. Bottom line, if you're comfortable in sin, he's warning you to repent, believe, and submit. He's not giving up on you. If you're struggling with sin, he's encouraging you to break free and walk as you are, as you truly are in Christ. Okay, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ or Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here's where the title came from, mainly. The fruit of the Spirit is harder to come by than the works of the flesh because they are unnatural to us, to our flesh. That we spend a lot more time in this life, most of us, catering to the desires of the flesh. So those are the things that are more natural. The fruit of the Spirit is only, we can only get this fruit if we abide in Christ, if we obey the Holy Spirit. We could memorize the whole Bible and miss out on bearing fruit of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. It's not a head knowledge thing. We can't intellectually bring this fruit about. It's got to be about crucifying the desires of the flesh and letting him work through us. We must take what we've learned and die to the desires of the flesh when we read the Bible, when we fellowship, when we hear teachings, all of these things. We have to take it in and then do it. Like, let the Holy Spirit have his way with us. He actually says to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. He's talking about world love, that's what he's talking about here, world love. Do not love the things of the world. Do not have an affinity for the things of the world. Do not forget to be grateful and thankful for what God has done in your life and what he has provided you, and grumble and complain about wanting something better than what he's provided. Oh, if I only get that thing. I know I've got this thing here, but if I only had that shinier, newer one, I'd be happier. Beware of that thought. Beware of that. God is calling you to be thankful. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I mean, it's like God's saying, you want to feel like you won the lottery? Just godliness with contentment is great gain. Man, Lord, you have really provided. I always think about my faucet whenever I start getting spoiled. Like, man, I can just turn this thing on, hot, cold, immediately, crystal clear water's coming right out of my faucet. You know how many people in the world will never experience that? That simple little thing. Simple little thing. Worldly knowledge and wisdom without God cannot accomplish this. And I thought of Dale, who just quoted this in men's group. There really is no worldly wisdom, or there is no worldly wisdom and knowledge. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom in Proverbs is the fear of the Lord. But we know what I'm saying. Like, the world thinks their knowledge and their wisdom will do great things. It can't accomplish this. Walking in the Spirit, dying to the flesh, it's foolishness to the world, actually. We must allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, and we must submit in obedience to bear this fruit of the Spirit. It's a process, and it's only limited by us. It's that daily battle. It's that daily showdown between the flesh and the Spirit. The more we mature, the more we should start to see that fruit mature in our lives, to grow. And as we see it grow, it'll start to nourish us, our families, and everyone that we're in contact with, our circle of influence. And we'll do things that aren't calculated by the world. We'll do things that the world's like, I don't understand that. God loves to confound the world. He loves to take the foolish people and confound the wise. How did these weirdos, these fishermen, get all this wisdom? Oh, they've spent time with Jesus. Don't you want to be one of those? Where did this guy get all this wisdom, or this girl get all? They've been with Jesus. If we walk in the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against that fruit. So what does Paul mean when he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit? Okay, so I was really excited to get into this because I had no idea what that was talking about. So once we're born again, we are then among the living. We are among the living. We're born again. Our spirit has been made alive through our belief in Christ. We are among the living. We are living in the Spirit. We're alive. We have a destiny. We have an eternal destiny with the Lord. That's what we are doing. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. No one can snatch us out of his hand. We are saved. We have an eternal future in the heavenly kingdom. We are alive in the Spirit, and we should look like it. We should walk in the Spirit also. That's the difference. We are alive in the Spirit. We are living in the Spirit, but we can choose to not walk in the Spirit. We can choose to quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Don't go there. You've been looking at that thing online. You keep looking at that thing, and now all of a sudden you're feeling like you're supposed to buy it. Well, what have you been spending all your time on? Well, I keep looking at that. I don't want to give you anything because I want you to have your own thing that you're putting there. I don't want to give you my thing. But, you know, if you keep spending time on it, and it's like, man, if I had that, I would truly be blessed and happy. And the Lord's going, do you get me? Do you get what you got right now? So that's what I think he's talking about here. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't forget what you have. Don't forget who you are in Christ. Don't chase the world's stuff. Don't chase it. Let it happen. If things happen, let them happen. If you get a good deal on something, my car broke down, I need to get another car, let it happen and don't feel bad about it happening. But don't take something God's provided and go, this isn't good enough. I, on my own, need to chase something else. And you know, it's not for someone else to tell you, I think that's what you did. No, that's for you. That's for you with your relationship with the Lord. We can do that with ourselves. Why did the Lord make me like this? Why did he make me bald? Why did he make me this way? You know, why? I mean, you see this in a lot of people. There could be someone who's got what, like brunettes could be like, oh my gosh, she's got the most beautiful hair. And that blonde hair lady, all she wants to do is dye it darker. And it could go the other way. And it's like, oh, I mean, that's what we do. We do these things. We're like, it's just not good enough. The way I'm made is just isn't good enough, God. I mean, if you really take it to God, it kind of helps you kind of set you straight. Like, well, I mean, your word does say we're uniquely and wonderfully made. I mean, I get irritated with my personality. You know, I get irritated. Like I see some people, they're Mr. Calm, cool, collected. I'm like, I love those guys. I am nothing like those guys. I'm not. Okay, to walk in this verse means something a little different than verse 15 where it says walk. That's peripateo. This walk is stokeo, and it means to proceed in a row as the march of a soldier. I loved this idea. To go in order, to live in this orderly way with other soldiers, fellow Christian soldiers. That's what he's saying. So walk together in one accord. You're living in the Spirit. We're all alive in the Spirit if we're born again. Now let us walk in the Spirit together in one accord, progressing in the Lord, pursuing the Lord, pursuing and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit together. You are born again and alive. Live, walk, and practice it. Pursue it. And if you do, you are not under the law. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. This verse to me threw me off with like, why is this here? Why is this showing up at the end of this? So there's a couple different things I read with commentaries. I think it was David Gusick, who I really like a lot. He took it as, and I'm sure other people have too, by walking in the Spirit, we may become prideful and look down on others for their walk. And I can relate to what he's saying there, where you feel like you don't have anything, you're not struggling with anything, and you can almost be like, well, I don't know why they're struggling. Just stop doing that. But there's other times in my life where I've struggled in things, and just saying, well, just stop doing that isn't really the good answer for me. I need a little help. Amen? So I think that's what he's saying. Like, if you've you've got this down pretty good and you feel like you're really walking in the Spirit and you don't have anything the Lord's really working on you, just make sure you don't start thinking down on people, because then he's going to start working on you on pride, which is the worst of the sins. It's like it's the beginning of the sins, of all the sins. So don't do that. But then others say it's just a general warning, along with trusting in the flesh, thinking we're better than we are, lying to ourselves, thinking we're good to go when we're not. Either way, I don't think we have to decide which way. Either way, I think no matter what, these would drive us to be conceited or provoking one another and envying one another. None of these are a good idea. We know that. Whether it's through you're walking in the Spirit, which again, that one I'm having a hard time with. If I'm really walking in the Spirit, how am I doing that? Like, you're ceasing to walk in the Spirit because you're walking in the Spirit so good? Like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that one. But I think we know when we're doing these things. I think we know the Holy Spirit loves us so much, he will not let us just keep going. He will convict us. We know this. And he'll just keep nagging us until we finally give in. Or, like I told you about the smoking thing way back, or he just stops talking to me, and that freaked me out. Where now I'm like, now I got to quit, because the Lord's even given up. If the Lord's given up on telling me this, I'm in real trouble. So let's not do any of those things. And remember, just before he says this, he says we're to march together. So he's saying we're working together, we're marching together, we're pursuing the Holy Spirit together, we're bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit together. And then he warns us, don't be conceited and prideful and arrogant and envying one another. Like that kind of disbands us from being together. Okay, so some final thoughts, main points. To walk in the Spirit is to put into practice what the Word of God tells us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us everything because he first loved us while we were his enemies. He sealed us with his Holy Spirit. He assured us of salvation, and he promised us a glorious eternity with him. And he told us, the same Lord who did all this for us, he tells us to go. Spread the good news. Because it is good news. I always like to remind us, the things we're told to tell people are good news. Not bad news. That'd be harder. But I think sometimes we treat it as bad news. But it's good news. If we realize their sin state and their eternal destiny, their eternal damnation, we would really understand this is good news they need to hear. So he tells us, he commands us, the Great Commission, go tell them. He tells us to walk in his word. Other parts, he tells us to run in his word, run the race. And I think as a church, not just our church, the church as a whole, we have to be careful, because I think we don't do enough Bible reading. I remember I had Jehovah Witnesses once that I was like giving them scriptures back, and they're like, wow, they were shocked. Wow, you really know your word for a Christian. That's sad. We shouldn't do that. So I do think it's important that we read and we study and we fellowship, but we don't read, study, and fellowship so we can keep on impressing each other with what we know. We're supposed to take that to be energized to go, tell people the good news. Walking in the Spirit. I don't think walking in the Spirit is just ever learning and never perceiving and never going out and putting it into action. I think that's a big part of this. God has put a lot into us. He's put his word into us, his Spirit, his gifts, his calling. And what does that look like? So to me, I was thinking of a wind-up toy. You guys remember old wind-up toys? You like wind them up and you let them go and they're like, right? And you wind them up, and at first they go real fast, and then they start slowing down. I think that's how we should be as the church. When we fellowship, when we read our Bible, when we praise, all of this is winding us up so we can go. Go. Tell the world. But that's what we need to do, is like live for the Lord out in the world. Let them see that we're walking in the Spirit. But those wind-up toys, did you ever overwind one? I thought maybe I was the only one who did that. It makes all sorts of weird noises. And then you break it. It doesn't work. And I think that's like us in the church too. If we don't go out and we don't use that energy, we will just kind of get into little deals here, fighting and arguing and nitpicking each other, because we're not using the energy and everything that we've learned, and we've learned to walk in the Spirit together as a church to go out and make a difference in the world. We're now like all infighting and like, I don't like how they do that. I didn't like that look. I didn't like what they wore. La, 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 la. Right? It's because we got to go. The more we go, the more wounded we get, the more worn out we get, the more we need re-energizing, the more happy we're going to be able to see each other. Be like, oh my gosh, it's been a week. But when we're just kind of like, it's almost, listen, have you guys ever gone to a buffet and you're not really hungry? And you're like, what a waste. Like, when I go to a buffet, I want to be starving. And sometimes I get full early. I mean, when I was younger, I did not. I could eat like 3-4 plates. Now I'm like one plate, and I'm like, I better be selective on this one plate because I'm going to fill up. But I think that's what we can do. We can come to church, and we're still full from last week. And I'm not talking about just the sermon. I'm talking about just life. But if we're full and we come in, we don't really treasure. We don't really appreciate what this is. We got to go out and use that energy and get worn out. So when we come back, we're like, I need this. I need this smorgasbord. So we're never told to keep learning and absorbing, but to not go out. We're told to go, go, go. Now, there are times God will tell you to stay. I understand that. But the Great Commission general default is go. When he tells you to stay, though, stay. And he'll give you a time. Remember, we're not supposed to cast pearls to swine. I'm not trying to get you punched. You know, someone's like, I don't want to hear that anymore. Well, Jason said, you know, that's not what I'm saying. We got to be wise, wise, but just be free to go and always look for an opportunity to share the hope that you have, why you have the hope that you have. We have been so blessed by our Lord, who freed us from eternal damnation. He gave us his yoke and his burden, which is easy and light. Remember, if you have any other yoke or burden on you that's not the Lord's, cast it off. Cast it off right now and live free in Christ. If he keeps poking you on a sin or something, that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about you need to obey that. You need to listen to that. Why? Because he loves you and he wants you to be free from sin, from addictions, from problems. He wants you free. And that thing he's bugging you about, it's keeping you from being free. That's why he's bugging you about it. So I don't want you to misunderstand that. Listen to that. But the additions, the legalism, those kind of things, cast that stuff off. Cast it off. And the lies about things that are okay, that the Bible says are not okay, cast those off too. You can't kick the doors of heaven wide or open. They're exactly how God set them up to be. We've been so blessed by our Lord, freed us from eternal damnation, gave us his yoke and his burden, which is easy and light. He freed us, folks, not to misuse for our desires of our flesh, those forbidden desires that are listed here, that you're all going to go home and look at all the different translations and really make sure you understand what ones it is the Lord's bringing up. I hope you all see conviction the way I do. He loves me. That's why he's showing me that now. Instead of at the Bema seat going, man, I had no idea that thing I did all those years was bad. I like that he's telling me now so I can take care of it now. Thank you, Lord. Not to misuse, he didn't give us freedom to give into the flesh, but to submit to him as a bond servant. We were bought at a great price. He wants us to walk in the Spirit in one accord as his bride. As his bride. That, to me, that just makes me feel really good. Like, I actually feel good about the bride of Christ here. Like how we work together as a family. We're not perfect. We got flaws. But man, we are preaching the word. We're teaching the word. And people will correct you if you're not teaching the word here. They'll love you. And I love that. And I think that's a foundational piece. But we have to continue to grow and mature and let the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, come out of us and nourish all of us and those in our communities that we go. Remember, it starts with that showdown between the flesh and the spirit every day. Make sure we're taking out the flesh, crucifying the desires every day, and giving one of those 29,000 days that we have here to the Lord, each one, and line them up. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to be like, man, I haven't really struggled in a lot of those things for a while. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up. I mean, I just messed up in front of all you saying something wrong. These things happen. But as long as we're trying to follow the Lord and pursue the Lord, he'll bless us. He'll forgive us, and he'll keep us free. Amen? So let's walk in the Spirit. As we are living in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your freedom that you've given us to entrusting us with that. Lord, thank you for everyone here today, Lord. I pray that you are working on all of us, that we feel like we have had a workout, but we also feel renewed and energized to go out into this world, Lord, a little bit more like you. And Lord, for anyone here who may not know you, who may have been had a false sense of security like I used to, Lord, I pray that you tug on their hearts and show them how to really just trust in you and believe in you and repent and accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that you've brought us all here together, that you knew before the creation of the world that we, every single person here, would be here in this place right now to hear your teaching, to praise you, and to love you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for getting Pastor Rick through his surgery, and thank you for everyone who's serving you today, and thank you for everyone who came in and heard the word. In Jesus' name, amen.